I'll tell you one thing about my personal life that I've never told before. I never fucked a 10, but one night I fucked 5 2s. And I think that ought to count. I think that ought to go in your record as a positive achievement. Never fucked a 1. Hey, never got drunk enough to fuck a 1. You gotta be drunk to fuck a 1. Of course, some guys don't fuck anybody, you know. Hey, let's fuck her.
That's a signpost, Bob.
Well, let's go for it. Some guys will fuck anybody. Not me. Not anymore. Not since herpes and AIDS are going around. In fact, just to be on the safe side, I'm not even jerking off anymore. Well, I don't know where I've been. Lately, I began thinking about bisexuals and thinking what an awful life that must be, what a curse it must be to be a bisexual. Can you imagine wanting to fuck everybody you meet? Think of all the phone numbers you'd accumulate. You might as well just walk around with the white pages under your arm. And you know, I've always wanted to work in a delicatessen just so that a woman would come in one day and ask me to give her some tongue. And I'd say, well, I don't get off till 4 o'clock. And she'd say, well, I don't get off at all. That's why I'm looking for some tongue. So far, I just haven't had the opportunity. Now, this next piece of material is something that most people can identify with. It's about losing things. I hate to lose anything. I don't want to lose anything because where is it? See, basically, that's the part that bothers me the most. I'm a practical guy. Where is it? I just had it. You know that feeling? It was just here. Where is it? I don't know. It's gone. That's true. It's lost. I know. Where could it be? Could be anywhere. Maybe it'll come back. Maybe, but not yet. It's gone. That's true. Are we going to go through this shit again? Where do these things go when they're lost? There are some things I don't even care if I ever get them back. I just want to know where the fuck they went. You know what I mean? And let me say, losing things is one of those events in life that's even worse when you're a kid. It's even worse because people get on you for it. It's double jeopardy. Not only is the item gone, but you're catching shit from up here. You what? I lost my yo-yo. Well, where did you have it last? Hey! If I knew that, I would still have my yo-yo. Well, it must be somewhere. Right. Well, it just didn't get up and walk away. That one always got to me. It just didn't get up and walk away. One time I lost the cat. It just got up and walked away. And she actually started to say, well, it just didn't get up and... Hey, Ma, I think you figured this one out. Where do things go when they're lost? You know what I think? I think there's a big pile of things somewhere. I think there's a big, constantly changing pile of things that are lost. You lose something and whoosh, it goes to the pile. And then you say, oh, look, there it is. Right back from the pile. And you didn't even know there was a pile. And where is the pile? In heaven, of course. Has to be in heaven. That's the first thing that happens when you get to heaven. They give you back everything you ever lost. That's the whole meaning of heaven. You get back everything. Here you are, 79 pairs of sunglasses, 212 cigarette lighters, 4,983 ballpoint pens. Here's a jockstrap we found on the Golden State Freeway. It appears to have mule hoof prints and chocolate sprinkles on it. Must have been quite an evening. Yes, you get back everything. Everything when you get to heaven. Well, not everything. You know, you don't get the big things back. Good judgment, that never comes back. Your tonsils, your appendix, they keep those for display purposes. Virginity, you don't get that back because you're in such a big hurry to get rid of it in the first place. But you get back all your wallets. You get back every wallet you ever lost. No cash. It's just like Earth. They keep the money as a prayer offering. Have you noticed that there are some people who, when they lose something, their first reaction is that it had to be stolen? First thing, hey, it was stolen. It's an ego defense. They can't stand the fact that they might have been stupid enough to have lost something. And even if it's something that nobody would really want that much. Hey, who stole my collection of used bandages? And they also got away with my nude pictures of Ernest Borgnine. Have you noticed this? When you lose something, the longer you look for it, the stranger the places are that you're looking. You look in the goddamnedest places after a while. You have to. You know why? You've already looked in the easy places. Those are the first places we look, the obvious places. That's why people say to each other, well, I've looked everywhere. Well, apparently not. The goddamn thing is still gone, isn't it? Let's keep looking in obvious places. I'll look in the furnace. You check the cesspool. You look in the strangest places. Did you ever look in the freezer for your car keys? Hey, you might as well. Shit, they might be in there. Wouldn't want to pass up a nice obvious place like the freezer, would you? Because you can talk yourself into it. You can picture them in there. That's what the mind is for, picturing where you left your car keys. You can follow the logic all the way back to the supermarket. I came out of the supermarket and I had the frozen banana guacamole in my hand. I put it next to me, drove home. When I got out, I picked up the banana guacamole. I had the car keys in this hand. I put it in the freezer. I probably just put the keys right down next to it. Let's go take a look. Oh, they're not in there. I could have sworn I left those keys in the freezer. And hey, who stole the frozen banana guacamole? You look in some strange places. And by the way, while you're in the kitchen, keep looking in obvious places. Check the toaster slots. Look inside a corn muffin. Can never tell. You might have just dropped the keys in the batter while you were passing through, and they became trapped and baked inside a corn muffin. Wouldn't want to pass up an obvious thing like that. All things are possible when you're looking for your car keys. You look in some strange places for things. Do you ever find yourself looking in a suit that you haven't worn in 10 years for something you just had 15 minutes ago? You have to. Why? Six more pockets. Wouldn't want to pass them up, would you? Or else you wouldn't be able to say, I've looked everywhere. By the way, while you're in the closet, check the watch pocket of your grandfather's World War I uniform. You just might have handed him the keys before the Battle of Verdun. Here's another thing that happens when you're looking for something. Every now and then, you'll go back to where the thing ought to be. You might be out in the garage looking, and suddenly you'll go back and open the top drawer. Whoop, nope, not back yet. You're convinced that St. Anthony will bring the keys back while you're in the garage. And of course, if you're looking for your car keys, one obvious place where you have to look 600 or 700 times is your pocket. You will wear out the cloth in your pocket looking because that's where they ought to be.
Well, I had them now. Jesus, you know what I usually do? I put them right in here. See, hold on. Wait, nope. Oh, wait, hold on. See, now, nope, they're not in here. Usually I have, wait a minute. Nope. Hold on. Wait a minute. Oh, I know.
Maybe they fell upward. Maybe they fell upward and stuck to some bubble gum. You never know. Of course, those are obvious things, easy things like car keys. Sometimes an unusual item is missing, like the couch. Did you ever come home and the goddamn couch is gone? Where's the couch?
I don't know.
It's gone.
That's true.
Where could it be?
Could be anywhere.
Maybe it'll come back.
Maybe, but not this. No, it's too big, actually. Nothing over 4 feet ever comes back on its own.
Well, it was here this morning.
Well, of course it was here this morning. There'd be no sense in mentioning the fact that it isn't here now unless it had been here this morning. There'd be no basis for a comparison.
Fuck you! I'm tired of your analytical shit! Why don't you take your logic and go to bed?
I can't.
Why not?
I sleep on the couch.
Sometimes it isn't a thing that's lost. It's you.
I'm lost. Where am I? Where am I? What a frightening question to have to ask another human being seriously. Pardon me. Where am I? And to be hoping for a constructive answer. Not something like,
you're in the land of broken dreams and shattered hopes. And you're next online for the human sacrifice.
Thank you very much. I'd rather be lost. Yeah, and you know, being lost is another one of those things that's worse when you're a child. Remember that, being lost when you were a little kid? Maybe 5 years old, and you got separated from your parents at the beach, and you know in your deepest heart and mind you may never see your loved ones again as long as you live. You are actually going to have to go out and get a job. And just when you were beginning to memorize a couple of the nursery rhymes, too. I think about being lost as a kid, and I get this echo effect in my head, as if I were lost in some spooky place once. So I'm kind of like, Mama, 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 where are you, 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 where are you?
I'm lost.
I must have been lost in a public bathroom. I'm lost. No, you're not. You're right here with me. Oh. Back from the pile, eh? We thought you were missing. Missing? That's different. That's more important than being lost. Missing gets in the newspapers. Lost? You're the only one who knows. Missing must be important. They actually have a missing persons bureau. You gotta have a place to keep these people while they're gone. You can't let them wander around. These fuckers are missing. You gotta give them a place to sit down and read a magazine and have a hot chocolate while they wait for someone to come and claim them. That's mine, the tall one with the hair. But I don't think anybody's missing. I really don't believe anybody's missing. How can you be missing? Doesn't that violate some law of physics? I mean, if you're not here, you're somewhere else. You might be missing from here, but by God, you're not missing from over there. Jimmy Hoffa isn't missing. He's in an oil drum in New Jersey. Are there any guys tonight in the audience wearing an earring? Is there a man in the audience with an earring? Ah, how about a sanitary napkin? Do you have one of them on by any chance? Oh, come on. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That was a cheap joke. I'm sorry. That was a cheap joke, and I'm better than that.
No, I'm not.
Well, I only ask for a specific reason. Don't mean to embarrass anybody. See, I once wore an earring, and I'm wondering if the climate is still the same for people who take a chance. And I don't know. I guess it's a little different now. This was 10 or 12 years ago. It can't be quite the same. But I noticed certain things. This was, I say, 10 years ago. I decided to wear an earring. The only reason I had, very simple motive. I just wanted people to think I was different. Okay? And I thought, well, I'll drill a hole in my flesh. I only have 7 holes in my head now. I'll make an 8th hole in my head and put an ornament in there, and people will have to deal with me. I just wanted people to think I was a little strange, okay? I mean, apparently it wasn't strange enough that I stand up here going... I needed something a little extra. And I thought, well, self-mutilation, that might do the trick. So I drilled a hole in my ear, put an ornament in there, and set about my task. First thing I noticed was that some people didn't care. In fact, the whole world seemed indifferent to what I had done. Most people would not even look at the earring. I noticed that they would look right in my eyes, ignoring the earring, and I know what's going through their mind. They're thinking, this asshole is wearing a fucking earring. But a lot of people wouldn't look at it because they couldn't handle it. That's what was going on. They couldn't handle it because they didn't know what it meant. You know, some people think everything has to mean something. Well, some things don't mean anything. But people think it means something. It means you're gay. If it's in this ear, it means you're gay. If it's in this ear, it means you like to hump water buffalo or something. I don't know. Somebody said to me, well, what does it mean? I said, it means I killed a man in prison for asking fucking questions. And that seemed to satisfy his curiosity. Finally, some guy said to me, are you gay? I said, well, bend over and let's find out. So you think I'm gay? Why don't you try to take the earring away from me? I mean, it's the same if you carry a little bag, if a man carries a little purse. That's all it is. It's a little purse. Some people can't handle the word. Some guys who carry them can't even call it that. They'll say, where's my little bag? I say, hey, it's your purse. Pick it up and get out of here, you asshole.
I mean, if you can't handle the word, don't even carry the bag. It's a purse. I got one. What's the big deal? But some people like to taunt you. They'll say, is that your purse? And I'll say, yes, it is. And I have a picture of your mother in here sucking off an Indian. How do you like that? And that seems to satisfy their curiosity. So I wore the earring for a couple of years. I wore it about 2 years, and then I stopped wearing it when I heard that Andy Rooney had one. I thought, well, fuck me, how strange can I be? I stopped wearing the goddamn thing. I took it out, and my hole grew over. My earring hole. Hey. Come on. Not my asshole. What, are you crazy? Get out of here. No, your asshole grows over. You might as well check straight into a cemetery. Because you're going to spend a lot of time walking around the beach wondering why you're getting larger. No, 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 no. My earring hole grew over. And people noticed it. People would say, aren't you gaining weight? And I say, yes, my earring hole grew over. And aren't you a keen observer of detail? But these days, if you want to be different these days, one earring isn't enough. You've got to have a whole colony of those goddamn things growing up the side of your head like they're out of control. Some guys are walking with a 30-degree list to port, setting off metal detectors all over town. Or if you really want to be different, you got to get your nose pierced. That'll make you different. Get your nose pierced. Actually, you don't have to get it pierced. You can do it yourself at home with a paper punch. Oh! Makes a nice clean hole, only hurts for about a month. And then you can put one of your dad's tie tacks in there. Hi, Dad.
What's that, one of my tie tacks?
Yep.
Well, make sure you bring it home.
You'll make a good impression at the job interview with one of your dad's tie tacks sticking through your nose. That's not a guy's thing for the most part. You won't see too many guys with the nose stud. It's more of a woman's thing to do. Guys figured out a long time ago. Hey, if I get punched in the face with one of those things in, it's going to staple my nose to the back of my skull. Whoa, this fucking hurts, man. Well, I wanted to be different.
Well, you are now.
No, you won't see many men do that. That's more of a woman's thing. And some women have more than one of them, don't they? Some exotic women have like two or three of them in there. Ooh, I could never handle that. I mean, it was hard enough keeping one earring clean. Can you imagine three nose studs and a heavy cold? Forget about it, man. And you might sneeze and kill your friend. Oh, Jesus, Joey! My fucking eye, Joey! Now your friend has a pierced eye to go along with your pierced nose. You'll be a big hit on. That's incredible. I'd like to mention a social problem we have in this country that a lot of people don't like to talk about, especially in public, but I think it's time we met this thing head on. It exists in a lot of families, although most people won't admit to it. I'm talking about battered plants. Okay, it's plant beating, pure and simple. There's no way to put a nice face on it. But it's part of a larger problem. It's part of an overall problem, which is called the battering syndrome. And we've heard mostly about battered wives. That's the most prevalent part of the problem. And some work has been done in that direction. But then we began to hear about battered husbands. There are also battered husbands. Apparently this happens when the woman is real big, the man is real small, and they each drink a quart of whiskey a day. And we began to hear that other members of the family were affected. Battered step-uncles-in-law, battered foster cousins, battered third cousins once removed. In fact, the whole notion of battered distant relatives strikes me as awfully strange. To get on a bus and ride for 6 or 7 hours just to beat the shit out of someone you hardly ever see. I don't know. But the problem continued to grow. Battered fiancés, battered best friends, battered total strangers, which I think indicates a short fuse, don't you? And battered blind dates, which, as many of you know, quite often is completely justified. But then the problem took a bizarre turn. Then it got a little sick. We began to hear about battered pets. Battered pets. I couldn't believe it. When I first heard it, I said to myself, what? And I answered, well, yes, apparently so, according to the information. I often have these little conversations with myself. I do so love good conversation.
But it's true, there are battered pets. This happens when someone gets frustrated at work, comes home, and beats the shit out of Fluffy. Then the problem got really out of hand. We began to hear about battered plants. Battered plants. And I said to myself, I said, what? And I answered, well. Because this time I was speechless. But it's true, there are battered plants. And I don't mean just physical abuse. I'm not talking about strictly the physical abuse of plants. I don't mean like drop kicking some zinnias into the next yard. I'm not talking about pistol whipping a gardenia. I'm not even talking about stopping the car, getting out, and pissing on a bush. But I am talking about psychological abuse. I'm talking about the mental torture that we put plants through day in and day out. For instance, hanging plants. How do we know they aren't scared shitless up there? No wonder ivy clings. You'd cling too to the side of a building. So when you get home tonight, please take a look around the house and make sure you haven't left a plant in some corner where it doesn't want to be. And for God's sakes, never, never keep a plant in the bathroom. They hate that. And now, ladies and gentlemen, that we've enjoyed some good times this evening and enjoyed some laughter together, I feel it is my obligation to remind you of some of the negative, depressing, dangerous, life-threatening things that life is really all about. Things you have not been thinking about tonight, but which will be waiting for you as soon as you leave the theater or as soon as you turn off your television sets. Anal rape, quicksand, body lice, evil spirits, gridlock, acid rain, continental drift, labor violence, flash floods, rabies, torture, bad luck, calcium deficiency, falling rocks, cattle stampedes, bank failure, evil neighbors, killer bees, organ rejection, lynching, toxic waste, unstable dynamite, religious fanatics, prickly heat, price fixing, moral decay, hotel fires, loss of face, stink bombs, bubonic plague, neo-Nazis, friction, cereal weevils, failure of will, chain reactions, soil erosion, mail fraud, dry rot, voodoo curses, broken glass, snake bite, parasites, white slavery, public ridicule, faithless friends, random violence, breach of contract, family scandal, charlatans, transverse myelitis, structural defects, race riots, sunspots, rogue elephants, wax buildup, killer frost, jealous co-workers, root canals, metal fatigue, corporal punishment, sneak attacks, peer pressure, vigilantes, birth defects, false advertising, ungrateful children, financial ruin, mildew, loss of privileges, bad drugs, ill-fitting shoes, widespread chaos, Lou Gehrig's disease, stray bullets, runaway trains, chemical spills, locusts, airline food, shipwrecks, prowlers, bathtub accidents, faulty merchandise, terrorism, discrimination, wrongful cremation, carbon deposits, beef tapeworm, taxation without representation, escaped maniacs, sunburn, abandonment, threatening letters, entropy, 9-mile fever, poor workmanship, absentee landlord, solitary confinement, depletion of the ozone layer, unworthiness, intestinal bleeding, defrocked priests, loss of equilibrium, disgruntled employees, global warming, card sharps, poison meat, nuclear accidents, broken promises, contamination of the water supply, obscene phone calls, nuclear winter, wayward girls, mutual assured destruction, rampaging moose, the greenhouse effect, cluster headaches, social isolation, Dutch elm disease, the contraction of the universe, paper cuts, eternal damnation, the wrath of God, and paranoia! Thank you all very much. Thank you very much, and good night, y'all. See you now.